This is Lindsay Castleton recording an interview with Mrs. Hazel Jakes, the 20th of June, 1994. Now, Mrs. Jakes, could you tell me first of all where you were born and, if you like, what your age is?
I was born on the Saffron Lane at Leckington Road, 1934. My age is 60.
Yes. That was in Highfields, of course. Can you tell me... It wasn't in Highfields.
No, that was Saffron Lane estate.
Right. So you moved to Highfields...
Yeah, when our parents were ill, we had to go in a home.
And the home was in Highfields.
The home was on Mill Hill Lane to start with. And then when they know you've got to stay in, they send you to either a boys' home or a girls' home. And the girls' home was on East Park Road.
Can you tell me about the home, how it was run and how many children there were in it?
Well, when you first go into the home, it's the receiving home on Mill Hill Lane, which is Highfields. And Matron Berridge ran that, and it was for the poor law and the public assistance years ago. And then any children that looked as if they were going to stay and couldn't return home, they went to Miss Hammond's on East Park Road, which is still Highfields. Well, I think it's still Highfields. She used to go to St. Peter's Church, and we went to St. Stephen's Church on East Park Road.
Can you tell me about how the days were spent? Did you actually go out of the home to school? You went to local schools?
Yeah, we went to Bridge Road Girls and Moat Road School, and we went to, first of all, we got up in the morning and we had to do a job, just the bedroom floor or get the coal in or what, get the breakfast ready. And then we went to school, and then at dinner time we had to do all the washing up before we left, and it used to be a 2 hours dinner time then because it was double summer time. And or an hour and a half, it was a long dinner time anyway. And then after school we'd have more jobs to do in the evening, like getting the potatoes done and ready for the next day, and all the potato peelings were taken down to the pig's wheel bins, which were all collected from East Park Road near the factory. And and the that was for the pig's wheel, and then we'd be in bed, you know, pretty early as well. Not allowed to go out after school.
So you weren't able to go out and play sort of with other children in the area. You were separate.
Yeah.
How did you feel about living in the home?
Well, we didn't mind it at all, really, because on Saturday afternoon we went to the Evington Cinema, and we'd go to church on Sunday, every Sunday, and there was a family of Catholics come to live with us as well, and they went to Sacred Heart up the hill, and they were given a bit of priority, really, because they had to go for confirmation classes after school and things like that, so they got a bit more time to get out of the home than we did, you know. And then from during the end of the war, we went a bit further afield, because when we went to the Evington Cinema, the manager there, he saw us, and I had said to him, can you save us some seats, because sometimes we were a bit late getting there. And he said, yeah. The Evington Cinema manager, named Mr. Bellman, I think he was something to do with the councillors of Leicester, the brother, or perhaps he was the councillor. And he let us in the pictures for free, and we all went upstairs, and then with our pocket money that we should have gone to the pictures with, we had a bit more time out of the home to spend it, you see. So, and then some of us had stayed out a little bit longer, like, instead of spending the pocket money, we wanted to go for a walk. So we went to walk to one of the girl's father's houses up Avenue Road, and that was the start of really getting a little bit further afield. And we went and cleaned up for him, and because he used to work at the Leicester Mercury offices, and he was a shift worker, and of course it was nice for him to come home and have his fire laid and table laid for one. Yeah, because Winnie and Margaret's dad, their mother was in hospital as well, and Mr. Perry, their dad, was visiting her and visiting their little brother as well. But we only had visiting day was once a month, 2 hours.
So you saw your parents?
We used to go to see them at the hospital for our chest x-rays, because we had to have chest x-rays. Oh.
Did they have tuberculosis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was, were you able to write letters to them or anything like that?
Well, in the early days, they asked us to write a letter to them. And I wrote how awful it was. And my sister used to wet the bed.
Aww.
And used to tell her off. And this was at the receiving home on Mill Hill Lane. And we all wrote letters to our parents in hospital. I didn't like it, and made us work scrubbing the floors and dusting the bedrooms, you know. And the matron read this letter. I mean, well, she shouldn't have. And then she said, "Well, you can't write that," she said. "You have to do it again." So she gave me another piece of paper and told me what to write. Of course, then she knew how I felt about the place. So.
Gosh, as though you were in prison, really.
Oh, yes.
So it was some sort of punishment.
Yeah, that's right. We used to call it a prison.
Oh. But things were better when you went to the girls' section.
Oh, yes. When we went to Mars, she was much better. my brother ran away because he went in the homes with us, my brother Norman. And he went to live with my mother's sister, Thurmiston, and we went to the girls' home, and from then on we used to have to go for a chest x-ray to Groovy Road, and then we used to go and visit them while we were there. So it was quite nice.
How old were you when you first went into the home?
8.
And you stayed there until you were?
14.
Oh, so it was really most of your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a sister with you?
Two sisters. Mm-hmm. It's Doris and Edna.
Were they older or younger?
Younger. Or a year between them, mm-hmm. You know.
And your brother?
And my brother Norman, he was 12. And he went to my Auntie Rosie.
Were the three of you, the three girls, sort of able to keep together then? They didn't separate you?
Not over the first years, but then they developed a shadow on their lungs, so they had to go in hospital.
Gosh, so you were then on your own?
Yeah.
In the home?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was when, just towards the end, you know, when it was like nearly school leaving age, and they, in the meantime, Matron Berridge retired from the receiving home, and the homes then were amalgamated with the Countersalt Cottage Homes, and the Countersalt Cottage Homes were really bullied kids, you know, they were like little Hitlers looking after them, worse than this. I mean, we thought we were done to sometimes, but nothing like them. And they'd as they're leaving the table, they'd get the belt and they'd pull a door on the kids' heads, you know, and they said, "Oh, you walked into the door, didn't you?" And things like that. It was really, well, we discovered that when we went to camp with them, because we all went to camp, Winthorpe camp, and we found out little bits and pieces from them. And there was one girl there, she's been there ever since she was a baby. Her name was Laura, and she was really a lovely girl, you know, and we made friends with her. We got some of the stories from her. And then when I was forever squabbling and fighting with this Roman Catholic girl, because she eventually became the eldest, and I was second eldest. Well, I'd been home about 2 years when this happened, and I felt it wasn't fair that she should come in and just, I'd be there for a month and then she was the eldest. And so we went, I had to go to council for punishment, and I used to scrub the floors there till 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, that was a wicked place at council.
Mm.
Yeah. And they said that I'd eaten a rhubarb pie and I had to go to the superintendent for the flopper, but I never got it because I don't think he really believed it anyway. I mean, how can somebody eat a rhubarb pie without having the runs while they were sitting?
What was the food like generally? Was it
food,
nice
was very
food?
Good food and clothing. We were always well clothed. I mean,
did they choose the clothes for you?
We had what always handed down. There were always brown tweed coats and berries and blazers and school tunics and blouses.
So it's a uniform really that
like
you had.
Uniform, yeah.
You couldn't sort of choose your own things. And
no. Our clothes were taken off us as soon as we got there. I never saw them again.
Gosh, and did they say what sort of hairstyle you had to have?
Yes, caught short and a ribbon in her hair. Yeah, and it wasn't until one of the little girls, one of the Catholic girls, she came in and her name was little Margaret, and black ringlets, so she was pretty, and they didn't want her to have her hair. So we said we're not having that. Couldn't cut those ringlets off, you know, and we all objected. So that was one of the ways of getting around some of the things, but we hated the hairdressers. Mm-hmm. Oh, she used to get the clippers and cut up the back of her hair like a boy, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was awful. Mm-hmm. And we used to hate it. We used to walk on the other mm-hmm. side. Then if the sirens went, we used to say, oh, it bombs the hairdressers.
And presume you weren't allowed any sort of jewellery?
Oh, no, no. What was jewellery in them mm-hmm. days? I mean, nobody knew mm-hmm. jewellery. I mean, Winnie and Margaret, their Aunt Sarah, she was elderly, and she did send them some beads, but they always kept on their dressing tables and never wore them. Only at Christmas were the best dresses, and mm-hmm. we had a party at Christmas. We made some berries. Mm-hmm. They were receiving them on New Year's Day.
And I suppose when you were getting to be a teenager as well, you might have liked to sort of experiment with makeup, but I presume that wouldn't have been allowed.
Oh, there's no such thing as makeup, apart from Olive, her mum, bought her some lipstick once, and Ma said, what are you going to do with that? You've got enough plastic, don't want... If you're born to have lipstick on, you'd have had lipstick on. And that's what we got from that. And then Ruth, she had some tin curlers, and we tried to curl her hair. And we got pinched a bit of sugar and put it in water and combed all this sugared water through her hair. Put these tin curlers in, and all her hair came white, sugary. Couldn't get them out. That was quite funny, that one.
How did you feel, though, you know, sort of comparing your life before you went into the home and your life afterwards? It must have been very different.
Yeah. Yes. We used to play on the street, you know, mm-hmm. whip and top, skipping, go along the Elston playing fields.
Can you tell me about how the environment was at the time, how Highfields was? Because it was during the war, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the houses were really nice houses. I mean, the vicar, he lived on East Park Road. Our Sunday school teacher did. There was quite a few of the folks who used to come to look after lived in the area, and they were all very nice houses, and all the choir boys, you know, and the church was always full on a Sunday, about 70 or more mm. people in church. And Mr. Chandler, he was the church warden, and Father Huntley, he was the vicar. And then she used to go to St. Peter's Church. That's where I got married. And before it lost its spire, because it used to have a spire. And Spinner Hill Park. Now, that had a big hole dug in it, and all the soil went along the just the other side of the fence in the park, near the poplar trees. All they'd been cut down, but there was a row of poplar trees, and all this like clay was shifted to the side, and we used to call them the hills. And the lads used to ride up and down on the bikes and run up and down the hills, you know. Good hills, I mean, they were.
And what happened with the hole they dug in the middle?
Well, it was filled with water and a big concrete casing put round it. And I don't know whether there was anything on top, but somebody did get drowned in it. And that was for the encased incendiary bombs dropped, you see. Oh. Yeah. And we had a shelter built in our backyard. And it was underneath an ammunition factory. Oh, that's quite funny, that one. I mean, Ma used to let us stay in her, when the sirens went, we used to stay in her sitting room, and the French doors used to be open ready in case we had to run to the shelter. And when we slept in the shelter, we were in all these bunks, and for the very bad bombings, when it was Coventry being bombed and Tichborne Street, and you know, Highfield's got quite a lot of. And on Saturday mornings, after a while, some of our reports used to have to go to Mill Hill Lane, the receiving home, and it was for the young ones, while the older ones were doing the jobs. But this was later on, it wasn't, you know, it was when we were going a bit further afield that these reports had to be taken to the receiving home. Of course, the girls used to walk over the ruins trying to find little odds and ends, you know, jewellery or any little things that that they could spot on the way there. What else? Oh, and then after, well, it was after the war when the King and Queen drove through the park, and I was in the guards then, not the guards. It was the Salvation Army guards, and this guard leader Seaver, she used to look after us, when the King and Queen were coming, they wanted two girls to stand with the standards at the gate. So me and this Betty Matthews, she stood one side of the gate with the flag, and I stood the other side with the Salvation Army flag and the Union Jack. And the King and Queen came through, and the King saluted them. And the minute that the car had gone, everybody was running across the park to go and get another view, but further out, because it was like they were going to the Imperial typewriters, you see. And so we were diving around. We had to put these flags away quick, you know. got to look after the standards. that was quite something. And Victory Parade, we all went to see that. About 3 miles long it was, lasted ages. And then we were, everybody, the streets were packed with people coming back, you know. You had to be careful your shoes didn't get stuck in the tram line. Because the trams used to run up East Park Road. And it was a number 32 tram, East Park Road. And then used to go up to Evington Road, and then back into town along London Road, come back up the Umberston Road, and then Barnabas and East Park Road, that area.
Did you have buses as well?
No, we didn't have buses, no. Uh-huh. And then when they had the 1947 bad winter, the snow, that 6 foot walls all along the road, and used to have to dig gaps for people to cross the road. Yeah, and when it started to thaw, well, there was water everywhere, and there was like a big manhole cover at the gate, park gate, and all the water started coming up, so we had to go and tell everybody and put this plank across, because we could see it from at the home, and we went and put a plank across so that people didn't fall in the hole, you know. And we told the folks at the shop, and they reported it. And then, because we always had floods up our cellar, and they come right up the cellar steps, and our coal was down the cellar, so we had to wade through the water. But this year it was very bad, and Mara had sort of thought about the cellar being flooded, so we had some coal put outside the back door. The only trouble with that was all the snow fell off the roof, and it was buried under about 6 foot of snow. And It was about that time when Ma had a nervous breakdown. Yeah, she went away, and we had this Mr. and Mrs. I don't have to tell you the name. I call them Mr. and Mrs. B, and they looked after us, and of course they'd got a little girl, 5-year-old, and we used to have to take her into Leicester for her ballroom dancing, very posh. And this is when we sort of started to think there was other things in the world, you know. And one day we went to meet her, and meet her up, and there's this lorry, and it had shed all these load, had an accident on the road, shed all these daffodils all over the road. So we were just picking up the daffodils, and we took them over, forgot all about getting this little girl from that dancing. And we went back into the home, and she said, "Where's Pat?" "Oh God, we forgot." Oh, and then there was a hairdresser's in Moat Road, Anne Marie hairdresser, and that was Ma's hairdresser, not ours. And she lived there, Mrs. Cooper, with her husband, and I used to go around there sweeping up the floor and generally helping her tidy up. And then she had a baby, and this little baby, I used to babysit for them, because that was another thing. We were beginning to get out of the home a little bit longer, because, you know, we were sort of objecting to stopping in all the time. And of course it was something that she knew where we were anyway. So while I was there, I used to clean up, and I took the baby one day to have its photo, took it Jerome's in Leicester, and I said, "I don't take photographs of children under a year," and this was only 6 months old. So we laid it on a table, and I held my arm under its back, and it was a lovely photograph, and I took it back to them.
Was there sort of rationing during the war? Did that sort of affect you at all?
Yes, there was rationing. We had the rations used to come from the receiving home on a Thursday or a Friday. And when I was away, this Miss Gillespie, she made us put the groceries away. So it was like bags of sugar. I had to go in the sugar bin. Cereal, oats, you know, for the porridge. And while we were unpacking them, the tea fell in the porridge, and we couldn't get all the tea out of the porridge, because every time you put your hand in, it was sort of mixing in with the porridge. So this Miss Gillespie, we told her, and she'd got these bottle top glasses on where her eyes are very small, couldn't see anything, and she said that we'd got to put it away, you know, leave it as it is. So when the porridge was cooking at night, we thought, "Oh, it smells all right," so we went to bed, and the next morning we got up, and all this brown tea leaf porridge came through the hatch, and we had to eat it, or else we couldn't go to the pictures.
What did it taste like?
Oh, one of the girls said, "If you shut your eyes, it's all right." So I said, "Will you eat mine?" Oh, so it was quite funny. And I think a couple of the ones were sick on the way to the pictures. But
gosh, they didn't think of evacuating you out to the country?
Oh, no.
And you stayed in the city?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, no evacuations. I mean, it really wasn't. You can say we were evacuated, or we lived near the gasworks before we went in the home on Lothair Road. And as I say, this bomb Cavendish Road, mm-hmm. when I think the bombs were for the gasworks, but they missed. Mm-hmm. And as I say, we're living on Eastport Road. I think it was pretty safe. And,
but there was bombing in that area during the war.
Yeah,
wasn't
there? Yeah. There was quite a few little places that got the odd bombs. And Tichborne Street, Upper Tichborne Street in Melbourne.